Our lesson tonight comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 6 in the first 8 verses. And it has been said that happiness is neither within us only or without us. It is the union of ourselves with God. It is not really how much we have, but how much we enjoy that makes us happy. These are some of the things that Solomon addresses in Ecclesiastes chapter 6. The first 2 verses read, "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desires. And yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. And this is vanity, and it is an evil disease." Now Solomon discusses in the previous chapter, chapter 5 and verses 18 through 20, that the power to enjoy the blessings of life are a gift from God. Those scriptures say, "Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor, that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him. For it is his portion. Every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is a gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answers him in the joy of his heart." And so, chapter 6, Solomon is looking at the opposite of all this. A man, he says, is trying to say, may possess a lot of earthly wealth and goods, but he doesn't enjoy them. Because possession and enjoyment are not necessarily joined together. So Solomon says that these things are the vanities of life. It is important to understand and remember that the power to both enjoy and to have earthly blessings are from God. The true enjoyment of life lies not in the abundance of outward goods, but rather in a cheerful and contented spirit. Solomon also said in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 13, "There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt." Could it be that our lack of contentment with what we have stems from our refusal to share our blessings? Now, I may be speaking this to the wrong crowd, because those in attendance tonight and attendance on Sunday mornings share their blessings quite liberally. But we always need to keep these things in consideration at all times. In Acts 20 and verse 35, Paul said, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive." And we give. And the brethren here give liberally. And not necessarily all the time in the collection plate, but of themselves, with all their hearts and their desires to continue to do these things on a daily basis. In verses 3 through 6 of Ecclesiastes 6, it says, "If a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. For he comes in with vanity and departs in darkness, and his name shall be covered in darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun nor known anything. This has more rest than the other." Sometimes when you read what Solomon writes, it can be a little confusing. What he's trying to get across is if matters very little if one lives a long life and has 100 children. But unless the one is satisfied with the gifts that God gives, he's worse off than a stillborn child. He's lifeless. There are those who hoard money so that they would even refuse to use any of it for their own burial. Solomon uses this terminology for one reason. Back then, it was shameful not to be able to be buried. It was a disgrace. And one who would not even provide the money for his own burial, they would consider a miser. He says it is better for the person to never have been born than to live and have no burial. We remember the parable that Jesus spoke of the rich fool that tore down all of his barns because he had a bumper crop and built bigger barns. And he used those barns to hoard his wealth. But I say that the greatest enjoyment in life comes from helping others. When we are blessed, it is a blessing to share those blessings with other people. The beginning of the week, come in from work, there was a box sitting on our front porch. And I picked up the box and brought it in the house. And Vicki was sitting there on the sofa, and I said, "Did you miss this?" She said, "Well, what is it?" I said, "Open it up. I think it's flowers." No, it wasn't for me. The biggest smile across her face. She opened those boxes up. The week before, it was some chocolate-covered cherries. Both our faces lit up. See, just someone sharing a blessing with someone else creates a smile that's hard to wipe off the face. A special gift from someone means so much to the receiver. And Solomon is talking about the lack of joy in one's heart who refuses to share the blessings. But we are to enjoy the blessings of this life. God put everything here for us to enjoy. But Solomon even said that that long life, even if it lasted 4,000 years in which joy is absent, it was no better than a child who dies at birth. I was sitting here working on my lesson, the part that come to me, the man that stood out foremost in my mind as I was looking over these verses was Howard Hughes, a man of tremendous talent and tremendous wealth, and he died a miserable old man because he could not enjoy his wealth. He hoarded it. Nobody benefited from it. And we see many individuals today who are sharing their wealth. Unfortunately, God does not live in their heart, but they do share their wealth through their philanthropies and their foundations. But it comes to show through all these things that wealth in and of itself cannot buy happiness. In verses 7 through 9, Solomon says, "All the labor of the man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. For what hath the wise more than the fool? And what has the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. Our bodies might be filled with food, but food is not what fills a man's soul. We ate this afternoon, and probably some of us are starting to get hungry right about now. Food is something that we're always going to desire at least a couple of times during the day. That desire is never fully satisfied. The man never gains his wish completely, which fortifies the conclusion that man's happiness is not in his own power. We cannot find happiness in mere wealth. Self-preservation and enjoyment, eating and drinking, are proper uses of our earthly blessings. Yet our appetite is never filled. If we are living for our wealth, our wants will never be filled. There will always be another want, another desire. If life consists of only feeding the body to the neglect of the soul, then man will feel the hopelessness of never being truly satisfied. And if we are not ever truly satisfied, then what advantages, what lasting and true advantages do we have in this life? What advantages then would a rich man have over a poor man? Solomon tells us that it is better to enjoy the present than to feed one's self with the vain desires of the future. Now, Jim had talked this morning a little bit about, and James also, about the future. The future never comes. It's always tomorrow. The past will never catch up to us because it's gone by the wayside. Maybe the consequences of the past can catch us, but that's about it. We only have today. Today. The old saying, a bird in hand is worth two in the bush, comes to mind. Try to eat the two birds in the bush. Good luck in catching that one. It is better to be content with what we can see than to wander around and desire the things that are not there yet. True and lasting happiness is not found in the physical. Ecclesiastes 6 and verses 10 and 11. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? For who knows what is good for man in this life? All the days of his vain life which he spends as a shadow. For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Man tries, but he cannot contend with God. We are frail. We are weak. And we occupy a world that is subject for the sovereign appointment of God. We are unable to change what God has placed in order, namely that riches will not bring the lasting happiness that so many seek. When we were driving down, taking Grant and Daisy back to Vince this afternoon, the big billboard on the one side of the road before exit 137 had the Powerball lottery numbers. I think the biggest jackpot was $265 million. And you know, every week people are going out there and dropping 10, 20, 30, 100 bucks down for those tickets, hoping that they're going to get that $265 million. But once they get it, what are they going to do with it? I only know of one case where a couple in California took their lottery winnings and opened up a scholarship fund for students. All of it. All of it. Now, granted, I'm not saying that playing the lottery is a good thing. Taking money from other people, it's ill-gotten gain. But at least they were going to share that wealth with others. Riches are not the only thing that can not make us better. All that riches can really do for us is to increase our vanity. Solomon lays down his conclusion with which he has undertaken that there are an awful lot of things in this life that are vain and that are meaningless. The life of man is vain at best, and there are an abundance of accidents that make it more so. When we watch the news tonight, chances are we're going to find another life had been lost, either on the streets or at the hands of others on the news. None of those people woke up this morning thinking that this was the last day on earth. Not a single one of them. That which pretends to increase joy is vanity. Verse 12 says, "For who knows what is good for man in this life? All the days of his vain life which he spends as a shadow. For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun?" Solomon now draws inferences from what he's been saying in this chapter, which further serves to evince the truth in these statements. Everything that we accomplish on this earth physically, when we're gone, benefits us nothing. But the joy that we derive from other people with our blessings doesn't end. When we see our children grow, and, you know, we may have thought, well, maybe I was a little strict with them, or maybe I didn't let them enjoy the things of life as much as they probably wanted to. But then they grew up to be contented adults and loving adults. You see, that kind of joy carries on. When we see the love that our grandchildren have for us, the parents are doing something right. And when we leave this earth, the gentleness that we show them, that hopefully they will show their grandchildren. We're never going to find true happiness in the stuff that's in this world. What is a man better for his wealth and pleasure, for his honor and his preferment? Is that what we strive for in this life? There are many that do. There are many that think that power and prestige means everything. We don't really know what to wish for, because that which we promise ourselves that will provide satisfaction, at least what we think, often proves to trouble us. Who really knows what is good for a man in this life? where everything is vanity. I can imagine the wealthy at tax time. They're pulling their hair out, and they're getting their accountants to try to figure out how they can hide this or get this break or that break. And they worry so much about how to hold on with what they have. The rest of us, it's, you can take what I have because it isn't much. But you can't take my happiness and you can't take my joy. We want to do what is best, but we don't always know what is best. Our expectations from this world are as uncertain and deceitful sometimes as our enjoyment. And asking questions like, who knows what is good for man in life, all the days of his vain life which he passes like a shadow? Or who can tell a man what will happen to him after under the sun? Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, illustrates the vanity of looking to riches for answers. Indeed, the answers are to be found not through riches, but through God, who blesses us in riches that far exceed whatever the earth has to offer. The answer to life is not found in the things of life. Solomon tells us that wealth cannot secure happiness. He tells us that man's desires cannot be satisfied, that we cannot know or control the future. Therefore, and again, Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, conclusion of the whole matter, fear God, keep His commandments. There's where happiness lies. If you are not a child of God, where do you draw your happiness from? Is it from the things, physical things in this life? Is it maybe your family? But ask yourself, is that enjoyment complete? And I think if you do a self-examination, you'll find that it's start, but it's not complete. As one can only find true happiness in being a child of God. Because there, your future is secured. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you remain a good and faithful Christian, that you will enjoy everlasting life. You will never see the second death. If you're not a child of God, we want to give you the opportunity tonight to become one. To repent and confess and be baptized for the remission of sins. And then your brothers and sisters in Christ, after you've been added to the Lord's church by God Himself, will work together to help you to remain faithful and to grow. You are a child of God. If you've gotten caught up in the vanities of life, if you've left your first love, we want to give you the opportunity to repent of those things and to come back. If anyone has a need this evening, we pray that you will come as together we stand and we sing.